In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in the bulletin starting last week, and will continue until we're through with this document of Benedict the 16th, our Pope, we'll be looking at and preparing for the coming year of faith. The year of faith is to begin October 11th. But our Holy Father wants us to prepare for that now by looking at the documents of Vatican II, the council that was held between the years 1962 and 1965. During the council, they produced 16 separate documents. But four of those documents are key. They're the hinge documents. The document on the liturgy, the document on the church, the document on the church in the modern world, and the document on Holy Scripture is called Dei Verbum in Latin. The Pope, the Vatican, has always titled documents by some first words in the opening sentence. So Dei Verbum means the Word of God. In this key document is a dogmatic document. The Church lays out for us revelation. What is revelation? And why we should listen to revelation? Because after all, we are not the people of the book, but we are people of the Word that became flesh, the Incarnation in Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come down to give us a book per se. He gave us revelation. And so in this document, Dei Verbum, the Church is very careful to lay out that there are three types of sources of revelation that are intertwined, that are connected. And to leave one out without the other two, you'd fail in understanding what revelation is. They liken it to three legs of a stool. One source of revelation is God's Word, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the written Word, Holy Scripture. Another source of revelation comes from the magisterium of the Church, as the teaching office, our Holy Father, and all the bishops with them, with him, teaching. We find this primarily in the 21 councils over 2,000 years. But the third source of revelation comes by way of sacred tradition. Sacred tradition. That which goes back to the early, early days of the Church. In fact, it goes back to this period of time that we are in, between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of the Father. For 40 days, Jesus taught them many things, Scripture says. Now, what he taught them, we don't know. But yet, out of that teaching comes sacred tradition. For example, the male priesthood comes from that period. Celibacy for the priesthood also comes from that period, although the Church in the early days and even now allows for married men to be ordained. But it is during this period that the Church calls it mystagogia, the deep mysteries of our faith. It was during this period that the newly baptized on Easter Vigil would sit down with the bishop, and the bishop would explain deeper faith, the doctrines of our Church. So this is one of the favorite times of the year for me, because over the course of the next four Sundays, we look deeply at doctrine. Today, the Feast of the Ascension. Next week, the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming down upon the Church. After that, the Feast of Holy Trinity. And then after that, Corpus Christi, to believe in Jesus' real presence, his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. So these days that we are in right now lead up to a deeper faith, because faith is not something, oh, I just believe it. I don't know the need to know the particulars. No. We need to know the particulars in order to say yes to them. To say, yes, I believe this. I don't believe that. This is why the church has us recite our profession of faith Sunday after Sunday. So we understand in a deep way and say yes to what we believe, what I believe, credo. So on this Feast of the Ascension, what is it that we believe? Well, we believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead. And that when he revealed himself to the apostles, his divinity was shining through his humanity. It was the first time that they really understood who Jesus was. It wasn't until the resurrection that they knew he was both God and man. And to underscore his divinity then, he ascends before them. He takes his seat at the right hand of the Father. He becomes visible for them, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus truly has taken our humanity into heaven. And that's the good news. Prior to Jesus' ascension, humanity could not enter into heaven. Jesus is the first to take us there. He's the first to take our humanity where we hope to follow. This is our hope, for ourselves. We know that this world is passing away. We know that this isn't all there is. But Jesus now has opened the gates of heaven and is the first to bring our humanity there to the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing there? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He is forever showing his sacred wounds to our Heavenly Father, saying, look, these are the signs of their sanctity, of their redemption, of their salvation. So Scripture says we always have an advocate who is forever praying for us. And there is no sin that Jesus cannot take away, provided that we are open, provided we are sorry for our sins. And there is Scripture says there is no other advocate, there is no other sacrifice we can offer for sin. Jesus offered the one sacrifice for sinners, and is now forever showing his sacred wounds to our Heavenly Father. So this Feast of the Ascension is really our feast. It gives us a great deal of hope that our humanity, which is breaking down day by day by day, will be taken up and made anew in heaven. At least we should have this hope for ourselves. And we should be people looking forward to this hope, to our destiny, which means that we should not be living in this world like other people do, like the pagans do, living only for this world. No. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are to live holy lives, spreading the good news. This is what the apostles did, They were chided by the two angels. Why are you looking here up into the empty sky? Go! Do what he told you. Teach and spread the gospel. And that's happening right now here in Westville. The good news is available to us if we are open to it, if we are sorry for our sins, and look forward to seeing our Heavenly Father with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the beatific vision. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray for ourselves, that we realize that life is short, pray hard. Let us also pray for others, the many others who do not believe, for the many who just live for this world, for their own pleasure, their own selfishness. Let us pray that they may have a metanoia experience, a change of heart, in which they come to believe that Jesus truly has been raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father.